Hello, Ilona Europa, accent on LA Talk Radio. This is a live show every Monday from 6 till 7 p.m. Pacific time. And like always, live show, I push the buttons, show starts in funky way from my song, Sun is Going Down. No, not in LA. But again, I am so thankful Monday is here because it's a very exciting day for me. I have a great guest in the studio. Then we are moving our from here to another studio. We'll be taping live our accent on TV, the best of Poland and Europe. And today we have also wonderful guest, a little bit outside of Europe and Poland, but we love them anyway. And they have an accent, which means we love them even more. Okay, I don't know what to say because I have a representation of so many great accents. Then maybe let's start from my dear, dear friend, Mr. Christophe. Christophe, what is your second name and first name? Because you have gorgeous accent. Just tell us your way.
Christophe Petit, that's my real name.
This is your real name, but the accent is the Frenchy a little bit. And you're like, yeah, I just love you. Okay, you are from France.
Paris, yeah.
From Paris, even better, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is so amazing because you are popping up on Accent On every 6, 7, 8 months, and sometimes you have amazing jackets that is called cost like $1 million and has diamonds all over, and we have pictures, and you are selling this crazy stuff. I cannot believe that people have money to spend on so expensive stuff. Sometimes I'm just running around, and you have amazing friends who are very, very talented. They are painters, they are musicians, but you are the cool guy to me.
And oh,
I'm
really?
I'm so happy to see you every 6 months and just ask you, Christophe, are you back in America? What are you doing? You know, you are flying from where? I think you were in Dubai for a long time, yes?
Yeah, I spent 5 months in Dubai over the winter.
5 months in Dubai. You love there.
Yeah.
Why?
I used to live there.
I always see your pictures with great food, and I'm like, gosh, he has good life.
or
flying in the first class, and he's like, lounging here and there, and then you show these hotels. I'm like, something is wrong with my life. If you can have so good one, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Why do you have so good life?
Why?
Yes, why?
I don't know. I guess I just try to make it good.
That's true. And yeah, if people will know you, you are really a sweet gentleman. And we will be having a conversation with a few great guests today. And all of them are just very, very fascinating people. But you have so many businesses, you know, and you are this Renaissance man also. You love to paint. You love photography.
Yeah.
You were managing one of the Jacksons.
Yeah.
Yes. You are also today, for the special reason, you brought some hot rocker. Hot. But happened that he is today in a different position. He is a painter.
Yeah.
Also. What is his name?
His name is Ralph Rickerman. And I met him a few months ago. Because I wanted to take his portrait, you know, his picture for my collection of photography of celebrities. And then we got to talk a little bit, and he told me that he was also a painter. And so I told him the story about the collection that I have, you know, and then all those exhibitions that I did around the world,
yeah,
my own collection.
But
then,
you don't talk to us like we know. I know you were here 3 times already.
I will tell you a little bit.
Let's start. You said you wanted to take photography of Ralph's. He's a hot dude, and he's amazing gentleman. He's a rocker, and he is a bass player from one of the most known rock bands in the world, Scorpions.
Scorpions, yeah.
Then maybe we can say hi to him. Hello.
Hi, can I take my clothes on first?
No. You know, without a with, you probably...
It's hot enough here.
Yeah, you are hot.
You don't want to give it away.
No, we don't.
You guys have been admiring my body now for like about 10 minutes. Come on, let me get dressed first.
Okay, first you are tall, like 6 foot tall or more.
Actually, almost 6'4", yeah.
Good for you. That always helps. Then you have this aura of little scrubby face like you were shaved or not. Then that means already rock world.
That's all fake. Yeah, it's a beard toupee. You can buy them in Asia.
Okay, now we know you're funny, which is great. But outside of that, I really, really, was a pleasure to read your bio. It was really, really a pleasure because we have here in our studio gentlemen who, yes, you were a star of this big, great rock band. But outside of that, you're a very, very well-educated musician. And your years of playing guitar, studying music, classical music, piano, upright bass, plus of course, now you developed from rock band to being painter, which we'll be talking about this. That's the reason really why you are here today. And then you also are scoring music for so many films. This is like what else you cannot do.
Damn, I actually thought we were here today to talk about my DJ career, which I just started.
In a cute way, I also, of course, found out that you had like one or two gigs that are like really hot. Then
yeah,
you're transitioning to be a DJ.
Yeah, because I miss being on stage and, you know, I want to be back out there. And I really get big headaches when I listen to other DJs. And that's the main reason.
That would be very interesting. I don't even know where to start conversation with you. We have a lot of things to cover. And I would love you to come back if you like us, like me, like the Accent on Radio with Christoph here without. Because I think we could talk like segments about your life. It's just very fascinating. And then one day we will move to another studio. We'll tape live Accent on TV, the best of Poland and Europe, and we'll see how hot you are. That's good.
That's when I can actually wear clothes or take them all off. Or
you can take it off.
Take them off because it will be on TV.
It's fine. And we'll have this forever. Now we know who you are. For 1 second, we have another beautiful guest. Beautiful guest. And Thais, could you tell us your name? Your way, because you have great accent too. My gosh, you are cute.
Hi, I'm Thais Lages.
Look at that.
That's how you say my name.
And you are from?
I'm from Brazil.
She's from Brazil. She sings so beautifully, so beautifully. Oh. And I cannot wait. You will be singing one song live, maybe. And maybe we'll push button and play something that is sent to me, that you sent to me. And you have with you
I have here
friends.
With me, yeah. My friend, my retarded friend, like I,
we have on the phone.
We like to call ourselves Dump and Dumber.
Oh. So this I saw the picture, you know, I was like laughing, but I'm like, if this would be me, I would be pissed. I would be not liking that.
No, we're just extremely dumb. It doesn't really happen.
Okay.
So yeah, so this is Raza's Rai. He's from Malaysia. Do you want to say hi?
Say hi, Raza.
Hello, LA Talk Radio. It's good to be here.
Malaysian accent. And you have the second name is pretty cool too. And is the name of your band. Yes, then better introduce yourself the way how you wish.
Well, I am Raz Azrai. And Raz is my first name and Azrai is my second name. And my band is actually called Raz, just R-A-Z. I mean, I used to call it Raz Azrai, like a full concept, you know. But
it's tough. People will
never
spell,
remember. Yeah,
but I
figured Raz is easy, you know, R-A-Z. You can't miss that.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm from Malaysia. I moved here like 4 years ago, met Thais, and
you are a guitar player.
I'm a guitar player.
Amazing.
And
play
it's so cute because you were born in 1991. It's like almost 92. It's almost disgusting to say that both of you are so young. We are young
too. I feel so bad here.
No, but you are
all these people with all this incredible experiences, and I'm like, just
talk to us about it. It's so cute because, I am a singer-songwriter also. I do so many different things, but I love the two shows that I have, and that's something that I do, I don't know, out of hobby, which now is turning into business, which is turning into some good opportunities. That life is just beautiful, and we call this America. America that you can really dream and become whoever you want. I don't speak English. I have my own radio show and own TV show. How cool this could be. Yay!
That is awesome.
That's awesome. Okay, then maybe we'll come back to main guest. I'm almost scared to talk to you.
You're looking at me?
Yes. You know what? I think you need to talk to us a little bit. You were born in Germany, yes?
Correct.
What town?
It's actually a medium-sized town about 40 miles north of Hamburg called Lübeck.
I know Lübeck very well.
It's a city with the most bridges compared to the population in the whole world. The whole most churches.
Well,
not to say that I'm religious or anything, I'm just saying.
You just don't even understand how this town changed my life.
Really?
In a sick way, in an amazing
way.
They
have great marzipan, too.
I need to tell you a little bit because we have few things in common and it's just weird almost. Then I am from Poland and I am a singer and I was touring all over, but we had the Jaruzelski War, the Civil War. Remember,
right.
Yes, okay. and no artist could make money in Poland. And I was the first artist with another gentleman who was classical pianist that a Polish agency allowed to tour outside. Happened that they signed me for 6 months to tour in Germany. Tour. I never really was in Germany. And but 2 weeks before they sent me for 6 months touring, I was in Mongolia, in Ulaanbaatar, singing there. I'd never been in Mongolia. Then imagine, Polish lady, I tour a lot of Eastern European countries. But I went to Mongolia for 2 weeks. I sang in a very good company of artists. And I saw the country that was pretty poor, pretty weird, pretty unusual, pretty sad in a way. And then 2 weeks later, they sent me to West Germany. I never been in West Germany before. And it's like slapping me in the face in different ways. The smell, the beauty, the something so special. And then they asked me to play in Lübeck. I was there for 1 month in one of the clubs.
In Lübeck for 1 month?
Yeah.
I'm sorry for you.
Yeah. You see, what I remember, churches, I remember beautiful town and the club. I don't remember the club that I was playing because it was like...
Amsterdam, probably.
No, small, underground, really cool. And I never...
There's only one club that I can remember.
There could be. Gosh. Anyway, I love this town. And what I was happy with, that I could send food and packages to my family, because Germany didn't ask Polish people to pay for the goods they were sending this time. That was very, very, very sad time, because I was out of my country for 6 months. I was in Germany. I was touring,
So you did
Hamburg.
One show in Lübeck and they made you stay for a whole month?
No. I was playing with band who was there. And they just were bringing new singers every month, another singer. And I never did this before, but it happened for 6 months. I stayed and then whole life turned upside down. But that's another show. I will tell you later, one day. Anyway, I love this town. Then it's a beautiful town and I have good memories.
Yeah, I didn't stay there for very long, though. Actually, I did study classical music now in the conservatory.
I read your bio. I love what you wrote on your beautiful website.
I didn't write anything. I don't even know how to write.
Who did? Same like me. I don't speak English and I have my radio show. You don't write, but your... A website is
I write music, and I eventually read stuff. But
but you said, somebody wrote on your behalf that from age of seven, you were just studying music, yes? Because of parents, really.
From age to seven?
From age.
I started when I was about 5 years old. My brother took me to a school festival. It was the very first time where I saw like a live band. And I was very impressed by the instrument that made what I back in the days called boom boom, which I walked around for about a year, like being 5 or 6 years old, maybe even 4, I don't even remember. Like I was walking around the house saying, I want to make boom 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 boom. And my parents and everybody else thought I was talking about sexual shit. Because,
oh my gosh, at the age of 5?
Well, my parents were very open in that, department, that, like German people are. And... So eventually they found out that boom boom, I was actually referring to playing bass. So that took about a year. So at my 8th birthday, they called the local music store and ordered the cheapest guitar possible, which happened to be a bass by accident. And I got that thing and I blew up every single radio. And every time I got almost beaten up like crazy because there was no more radios left in the house. And then, half a year later, they had to get me like an amplifier for Christmas. And then I remember I had a battle with our cleaning lady, because our cleaning lady was my parents never wanted me to be musicians. They were like, business people, wealthy business people, and they had no musical thing whatsoever, nothing, zero. I was the first ever in the family. So, but this cleaning lady we had was kind of funny. She had a son and a daughter, and she made them take piano lessons and guitar lessons, classical, and they didn't want to. And she was always singing opera, like, kind of thing. So I came home after, my school was done, and I would plug in my bass after I received my amplifier then for Christmas. And I would turn that thing up and just noodle around, and she would sing opera, like Vacuum or something.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like a battle of the giants. It was literally her singing opera, me playing bass. I would turn up as soon as I heard her. When she heard me, she would sing louder. So it was louder, 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 louder. At least 2-3 times a week, the neighbors ended up calling me police, because it was literally like a cleaning lady screaming at the top of her lungs, and like a young kid not knowing how to play, going boom, 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 boom.
Well, that's a beautiful
that's
memory.
How it started,
whatever
yeah.
you say, that's a great memory. But then you decided that you need to study more seriously.
Yeah. Yes? Well, in Germany, if you want to become a serious musician, you actually have to be able to play anything.
Yes.
It's a whole different ballgame than here in LA. I mean, in America, where you can just go by your like emotions and guts and stuff like that. You, so eventually, I think it was the first time I took LSD. I don't know if I should be saying it on the radio, but I think I just
you
did.
Can say anything that you want.
Yeah, exactly. I actually noticed that, you know, reality or dreams can be more real than reality. So, you know, that was when I was 15. And when I was 16, I decided I want to become a professional musician. So I then started playing upright bass and had one of the best teachers for about 2.5 years. And everybody said I had no chance whatsoever to get on the conservatory, because Lübeck Conservatory is the most difficult conservatory and hardest conservatory in all Europe. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know this. A very, very strict orchestral. So, and then what's really funny was also about 2 or 3 months before I had my test, because you have to play in front of all these professors. He asked me, so how about your second instrument? How's that going? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, second instrument? You need a second instrument? I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. He says, well, damn, you need to play piano or something. You need to play two instruments. I'm like, okay. So I got like, I had like 3 months, like a crash course of playing piano. And he didn't even teach me. He just went right into songs. And then I did the whole test in front of all these professors. And out of like 10 or 15 people, and most of them played for like their entire life, I was the first they actually chose, not because I was so musically educated, which I wasn't, but because I was physically and mentally and emotionally the most talented. Like, you know, my, you know, the way how I make music, like, yeah. You know, like emotionally.
Now I will say, did we have some connection on this level too? Because in age of 7, my parents decided that I supposed to study music too, but they had no money. They were very simple, beautiful people. And
but mine tried me to stop. You know, it was the opposite. It was a cleaning lady that was battling with me.
Remember, we have very things in common. But they had no money. Then what they chose for me?
Yeah.
Violin.
Ooh.
You don't understand.
Scratched.
Then from age of 7, my sister, I was playing for 5 years in music school, violin. And obviously I needed to play two instruments to just, you know, and the piano. I didn't like so much violin, but I had no choice. But God gave me good voice. And what they asked me to do, sing opera. I hated opera. Then now, you know, I was going to high school, the normal high school, music school, high school, singing opera, hating. Then in age of like 18th, they just opened in Poland, Music Academy in Katowice, Silesia, very close to Krakow, which you were touring, the PAP Music Academy department. Yeah. And I was one of 300, was one who got the place. Cool. Then, not because I was the best test singer, because I was the most mature and wanted the most. Yeah. That's what the jury who said that from all of these beautiful vocalists and great people, I was the most mature musician. Somehow they see this, and I think we know what we are talking about. You know the passion, you know somebody wanting so much to study more, and I so much wanted. Then, yeah, 4 months, 4 years later, like you probably, how many years you were studying?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, for about 4.5. But most of the time I was stoned, so I don't remember much.
I remember everything, but I was studying also 4.5 years. The same system. What I'm saying, because we are in America and we see children liking music, but they don't treat really music too seriously. Like you said, everybody who has sort of talent, they claim they are already musicians, but they cannot score. They cannot do everything what you are doing so well. Then we need to talk about this also.
Yeah, that's actually one thing that came in very handy. I mean, of course I wasn't always stoned, but I did used to smoke a lot of weed back then. Which,
yes, okay, you're fine.
I should have Bill Maher and Woody Harrelson sitting next to me. I don't do it anymore. But back in the days, I know I stopped like a long time ago, but back in the days, it really helped me to be creative. And I think it did do that.
Oh, come on. I don't want
to
hear that. That's what helped you being creative? No, because you...
Every single best song in the world was written under the influence of something.
No, just wait for
him. Sometimes it can be under the influence of love.
But of course.
Okay.
Yeah,
Thank you, Mr. Christophe, the French gentleman. I know you really are very romantic.
I remember one time we did an interview with Steven Tyler with Aerosmith in Canada for like MTV. And the whole time he was like drawing like weird kind of like acid-y like patterns on his pants with a pen. And it was actually a TV interview. And then they asked him a very important question, like, you know, why do you think the music is not as good as it used to be back in the days? You know, he had a very strict answer. He said, people don't smoke enough weed anymore. You know, all the best music. I'm not trying to promote anything. Like I said, I stopped over 15 years. I don't do anything anymore. I'm totally zero. I drink water. When I go out, I drink light beer.
Okay, water. Good.
But I'm talking about my past.
I
understand.
You want
to cheers to something?
Honey, I have a lot of things that I would like not to talk about. No, weed is one of those obvious musicians, and drugs are weed. That's what we know. This is normal. And then...
Well, you know what? By the way, in Germany, where I come from, they legalized it over 20 years ago. It's more legal than it is in Amsterdam.
And it's fine. Whatever people want to do, they need to do it.
Yeah.
That's what we like. And then next thing that we have in common, because you are playing straight bass, and I just love
straight
this.
Bass. Oh, you mean upright bass?
Upright bass.
Well, I never really played jazz much. I studied upright bass on the conservatory for about 4.5 years. And
yeah.
I actually was joking. I do remember quite a bit of stuff. And you know, it comes in very handy for me now because when I do film scores, you know, most of my movies, although people think, oh, you're the guy from the Scorpions, rock, blah, 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 rocky like a hurricane or whatever. And, you know, it has nothing to do with that. When I do music, it's actually very orchestrated.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I use up to like 300-400 instruments that I stack up, and it's literally like 90 minutes of orchestration. And so, you know, all the things that I learned when I studied for those 4.5 years, they come in very handy. I think I did over 42 movies now or something, right?
That's amazing.
I just finished one with Annie Garcia and Sharon Stone, like a $50 million budget film. And so
okay.
Yeah, you sit there, it's different than writing a song, believe me. So
yeah.
you have to be very focused, you have to be very, like, you know, conscious and clear minded. And you literally sit there for like a minimum 1 month up to 3 or 4 months, like every day 8 to 10 hours, like composing like orchestral classical music.
Absolutely. And you like electronica. Why I'm saying we have something in common, because like 4 years ago I was working for many, many years with Mick Fleetwood of Fleetwood Mac. We had branding company. We were working lots of stuff outside of music for him. Then we were getting a lot of musicians writing to us and asking to just take care of them or just see if we have some connection or help them to get visas. And one of gentlemen, Italian gentleman, sent me score, music score, and sound like John Williams, except very electronica sound, and I love dance.
Hybrid, we call it hybrid.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Because I love dance music, and I felt something very unusual about this gentleman. Then I went to my ex-husband, and I said, look at this somebody from Italy is amazing, and he plays upright bass.
Upright
finished,
bass, yeah.
Finished 4 years of conservatorium, and really he wants to come to L.A. not to be a pop musician, and it happened that this gentleman wrote one of the biggest hits that everybody danced to from Eiffel 65 that is called Blue, da ba dee da da blue, da 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 da.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows it. You are maybe out of that because maybe you're a little bit too young for the song. Anyway, I knew this song. I knew how talented this guy is in a pop genre, but now I heard the score. You know, I heard the bass, upright bass. I'm like, I love it. Heartbeat. This is like bass is like heartbeat to me. Then we brought this gentleman to America 4 years ago. We gave him a visa. Now he's scoring also.
Right.
His dream is fulfilling in a similar way. Obviously, you are in a cool way very lucky because you had this period, 12 years in your life or more, that you were bass player for one of the hottest band in the world, Scorpions. How this came about?
Well, actually, in the Scorpions, I actually did play upright bass quite a bit. Like, you know, like one of the very first shows, I actually played upright bass because every time we played acoustic sets, I would play upright bass, which was quite unusual.
Beautiful.
It's quite unusual for rock bands. How did it happen? Well, I actually moved here to LA in '88 before you guys were born.
Yeah, that's so cute.
And I came. What? Well, you were born. Okay.
Babies.
Well,
babies.
I was doing really well in Germany, and I had my own studio there. I had my own band there called Beyond the Blind, which was way ahead of its time, everybody told us. It sounded like a mixture of Jim Morrison meets Pink Floyd meets, you know, like modern dance music, funk, like you know, Earth and Fire or something, mixed with orchestrated elements. But it was about 10 years, and it had a singer like Jim Morrison, really deep voice, very spiritual lyrics. The guy was great, fantastic, still is a very, very amazingly poetic singer. And but that was a time when all the high voices like Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, and you know, like Poison, and all those bands had the big hits. Yeah. So every record company just told us, hey, you know what, you're about 10 years ahead of your time, you should move to America or England or something. So I started asking everybody, hey, what's the biggest city in the world for music? That's where I want to go, because I want to conquer, not because of money or fame, which is what people do these days most of the time. Yeah. My dream was actually to like reach the biggest, broadest audience possible. I wanted to be on a big stage. I wanted to be like, you know, I wanted to have like the conversation with like the most people possible. So I was told Los Angeles, and I didn't even know the difference between New York. I thought Broadway was in L.A., and I thought Hollywood was in New York. I was like, that blue-eyed. So I, like, within 1 week after someone told me that, okay, L.A. It is. I sold everything that I owned, and everybody thought I was completely nuts, which I probably was. And I said, you can't just move to L.A. I said, watch me. And I did. I sold everything. I had two suitcases. I had two basses left, like one fretless, one, you know, both jazz basses, Fender jazz basses. Because I used to love Jaco, like that was my big, you know, influence. Mm-hmm. And Jaco Pastorius, it is. And so I came here in 88 by myself. I was supposed to be followed by my singer. And we were supposed to start a new band here. He showed up about 9 months late, so I was here by myself. I got picked up by Jimmy Bain, who used to be the bass player for Ronnie James Dio. Mm. And also Black Sabbath back in the days. I talked to him once on the phone because he used to be friends with my singer Herman, who used to like sell cars from America to Germany, vice versa, back and forth. And we explained each other that we said we were going to wear a hat, which I'm still doing up to this day. I'm just kidding. So he picked me up, and then I stayed at his house in Woodland Hills for the first, I don't know, almost for the first year. The singer joined me later about 9 months ago. We had our band here for like 3.5 years. And then the singer had a bad accident, was hospitalized for 9 months, so I was here by myself. And I actually, believe it or not, was dating women that had to take care of me. It was the other way around. Back in the days, all you had to have was long hair.
How unusual.
No. Well, now these days, it's all women looking for rich guys. Back in those days, you just had to have long hair. You had to be good at an instrument. And you had
like a rock star.
Yeah, you had to look like a rocker. And you didn't have to have money. All the girls, they were the ones with the money, because they were all like working, you know, I don't really want to say what, but, you know, most of them were dancing. So, and all the girls that I was dating, they all had... They literally had to pay me. I'm not kidding. I was a total gold digger back then. I'm not a gold digger. I just needed to survive somehow.
Of course. Yeah.
So, and then eventually, it's true story. And then eventually, I ended up marrying one of them. She talked me into it. Don't ask me how, but eventually she said, oh, then you got to get your green card. Okay, go. We did that in Vegas. Then I used to hang out with this guy, Edgar Patrick. He used to be the drummer for the band Bonfire, also a European band that was quite famous. They had a couple of hit songs. He used to look like Herman Rarabell, the original drummer of the Scorpions, and I used to look a little bit like Francis Buchholz, the other bass player that got fired from the band Scorpions.
People were confused what band he's playing.
No. We used to hang out together as friends. In the Hollywood scene, you know, nightlife, and people would go like, oh my god, there's a bass player from Scorpions, get them in. And for real, this went on for like almost like a year or so, and people had hardcore fans following me saying, oh my god, Francis, sign me on. I was like, dude, I don't even know the Scorpions very well, and I don't even like them that much. Never a big Scorpions fan. I always said that, even in interviews. I like good music. I like all music. I don't like one specific genre.
Wonderful.
Or band, you know. There's cool songs from the band, but there's also songs that I really don't like Dynamite or Blackout or stuff like that. I'm not a fan of that at all.
Wonderful.
So anyways, Yeah, we used to get confused for those guys. Eventually, he went back to Germany. And then one day he called me. I was asleep and said, "Oh my God, the Scorpions just fired the bass player. He stole a bunch of million. Blah 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 blah. You're the perfect guy." I'm like, "Dude, I'm sleeping. Call me back later." He calls back, screams in my ear, "La, la, 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 Scorpions!" I'm like, "What? Scorpions? Okay, whatever. Cool. I'll send him a tape. I sent a tape to Monaco with like, you know, all like jazz, like Jaka, you know, like."
And they were like, "What? It?
No, 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 no. This went to the drummer." Harmon Rarabell, only okay. To Monaco, but he was planning to do a solo record with an English guitar player. Then he called me back. He said, "That's amazing. You know, you play wow. You know, I never really heard bass playing like that. But can you also play rock?" As arrogant as I was, I said, "Of course, I can play anything." So, like a week later, I flew to Monaco to play on his record. And it was terrible. It was the worst record I ever played on. Because, seriously, it was like the click was here in the middle. The guitar was playing over here. The drums were over there. And I was like, I was totally confused. I was like, well, which one do I follow? And I didn't say anything, but I just played on it, you know, went through with it. And it was a super nice guy. I mean, he picked me up at the Golden Royce, big, huge villa with Golden Records everywhere and all that stuff.
I see the movie about your life. I really do see
the movie. Wrote a book.
You can score. You know, even music to your own movie. It's fascinating.
So 3 days later, I walk by his office, and he's talking to all the other guys, the Scorpion guys, I mean, band members from the Scorpions in Germany on the phone, and was like, "Oh my God, guys, I think I found the perfect bass player for us. You know, he looks just like Francis. He lives in America, and I never heard anybody play like him." I was really good back then. You know, I was really, really good. I have to say that. And all I used to do was practice. And then, you know, I flew to Germany, met the guys, and funny enough, they couldn't even remember their own songs. I had to, like, remind them, like, what, like, the chord structures were here and there, like give them a little help.
No, you were educated.
And then when they were really rude, after we played for about an hour, hour and a half, they said, "Okay, we have a business meeting now, you gotta go." I'm like, "Okay." They didn't even exchange numbers, nothing. So I got out of there and I was like, "I'm never gonna hear from these guys again." Because I think that was right after Winds of Change came out and everybody, you know, would have chopped off one of their fingers to be in that band because it was one of the biggest bands in the
world. And you got it for another 12, 13 years, yes? You were playing.
Well, I mean, like I went back to America like 2 weeks later or something, and I was doing at the time a record as a studio musician. I was programming the drums and the keyboards, because I was one of the first people that actually started working with computers when they came out. And so I was really good at that. And I was doing for a band called Kingdom Come. Some people might remember them. They sounded a lot like Led Zeppelin. And Lenny Wolf, with him, I was doing... I did everything on the computer for him. And one day I show up in the studio, message from Monaco. I call Monaco, drummer's wife. Talked to him and said, "Oh my God, good thing you called. You're leaving in 2 days." I'm like, "Leaving where?" I said, "Well, the band wants you to play on the new single. You're coming back to Germany. Your ticket's already at the airport." I'm like, "Wow, all right, cool." Yeah. So I fly back, playing the single. The guys say, "Hey, come with us to the Whistle Lord studio in Amsterdam. We're going to mix." Doc McGee, who used to be the biggest manager in the world, like Aerosmith, Bon Jovi, Kiss, Scorpions, Skid Row, all these big bands, comes flying in. It says, "Hey, I'm going to be at a hotel bar later. You know, meet me there, okay?" Like after 2 or 3 days being in the studio mixing and meeting the guys. So I walk in the hotel bar. 3.5 hours later, he's still sitting there. I said, "What do you want?" He said, "I have a beer." "Okay, I have a beer. Take a zip." He said, "All right, my friend. Looks like you're the new bass player for Scorpions. How much do you want?" And that's the time when I about fell from the stool.
Okay, the congratulations are obvious. Please promise that you will be back whenever time allows, because you are very, very busy. But I know also today you are here for reason with Christophe. We need to tell people about another profession right now that you redeveloping amazingly. I love your paintings. I don't even want to start about dance music, because we have something in common too, because I write a lot of dance music and electronic music with a lot of DJs. But that's another thing. Yeah. Painting, where this came from?
Well, you know what? It was actually, when we did the movie with Sharon Stone and Andy Garcia, I mentioned, it's called What About Love. It's not out yet. There was a hall where we was worked on with multiple composers, and one of the guys had to go to back to Poland for 2 weeks. And I just got a new house up in the hills, you know, that is pretty big, and you know, I felt kind of like lonely, bored, and out of place because I didn't know what to do with myself. And the music industry has become so repetitive and electronic. Everything's computers. So I basically felt like a girl. I just wanted to go out and go shopping. Honestly, so I went out and I was kind of like, I was down a little bit, sad, and like just a little bit out of place. So I said, maybe I'll go shopping, they'll pick me back up. So, and I somehow drove by an art store and I found myself in that art store later, actually shopping. And I walked out with all these canvases and paints and all that, because for years I've been saying, like, when I saw paintings, like my sister bought a painting once, it was all red scribbles. I'm like, I can do something like that. I was always like, oh well, he can paint.
I really think all our listeners, they need to go to your website. What is your website? Could you tell us?
It's ralphsart.com.
Please, people, check his art. It's just hot. It's beautiful. It's really, really, like he said, music. You see rhythm. You see graphics. In a way, you are very angular, but also very romantical. I see movement. I see heartbeat. I see wave.
I paint to music.
And I heard your interview, and you know, maybe I was influenced a little because you describe beautifully why your paintings are this way. But from art store, Christophe, to big opening gallery, Sofitel Hotel. Could you tell us where this is, and can people even come? How we can go and see?
Yeah, so it's going to happen on July 21st at the Sofitel Hotel in Beverly Hills, close to the Beverly Center. And so we're going to bring, I don't know how many paintings are we going to display?
Oh, probably at least 20, 30 minimum, yeah. I have about 120, I think.
He has about, yeah, like 100 paintings, and so there's some beautiful ones. So we still need to pick the one that we're going to display.
Yeah.
And they'll be there only for a day, for the night. They start at 7 o'clock in the evening until 2 o'clock in the morning. And there would be also some kind of live entertainment, and Ralph's going to DJ at the end of
that. That's so hard. We'll talk about this. Apropos live music, Thais. I know you will be my guest, main guest on a TV, on a camera show in 15 minutes, but right now you need to play something for us.
Okay.
Live song. Like you see, this gentleman, Raz,
yeah,
is just too colorful to not listen to him, but we want to hear both of you. Raz, can you pick up the guitar?
See.
Just sing one
song.
What are
we going to sing?
Yeah.
Do you want to play Never Trust Someone?
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
So, yeah, this song is about, well, I wrote it last year, exactly a year ago. And it's about trying to prove yourself wrong when you know you're right. Do you know what I mean?
Whole life.
Skipping this, making the same mistakes, trying to prove you wrong, but you know you're always right.
I know, I'm always right. That's for sure. Thank you, sister. I'm always right. Please sing.
I know.
This
song. So this is Never Trust Someone You Don't Trust.
Ready?
Beautiful.
It's coming.
Beautiful.
1, 2, 3, 4. Not too long ago, I finally met the one I wasn't looking for. I never know what I want, but I always know what I don't. And I didn't want him. To the dark side, he said. I said, I'm fine where I am. Come on, don't be shy, I'll be your guide. Ain't nothing wrong with playing dumb if you don't fool yourself. So I said yes, let's do this fast, 'cause I know how the story ends. Never trust someone you don't trust, even if you think you can handle it. Never trust someone you don't trust. Never trust who you don't trust. Congratulations, I said, you got further than I ever thought. But baby, you better stop, 'cause I'ma turn the lights on and they will show what you can't hide. And there won't be no no surprise, 'cause I read you right from the start, and I wish I was stronger. Never trust someone you don't trust, even if you think you can't handle it. Never trust someone you don't trust. Never trust who you don't trust. I need you in my life. I don't know what is right for me, what is right for you. My ego hurts, I'm a lie, and you took my pride away, but I'm moving on. 'Cause now I know, now I know, I can't trust someone I don't trust, 'cause I cannot trust anyone but me. You're the mistake I chose to make, 'cause I was sick of feeling safe. And now I don't know if I hadn't tried, but you proved me I'm always right. Never trust someone you don't trust, even if you think you can't handle it. Never trust someone you don't trust. Never trust who you don't trust. Never trust someone you don't trust, 'cause you can't handle it. Never trust someone you don't trust, 'cause you end up trusting them.
Oh, I will trust you. You are so good. Everybody, please, turn in 20 minutes from 7 till 8. Accent on the Best of Poland in Europe video channel. We will see Taya, so beautiful girl. And she sings like crazy. Well, she'll be singing live more. We'll be learning more about her live and Raz live also. And I'm so nervous because our show, 10 more minutes, and we'll need to say bye-bye to our wonderful Christophe and wonderful Ralph. But, you know, I like competition. And obvious. I am also singer-songwriter. Then guys, you have no choice. You need to listen to me singing. Easy come, easy go. That's my life. Ilona Europa.
I believe I didn't mean to hurt you when I said maybe you are not so right about the other day. I believe we've reached the point of no return this time. I believe you didn't mean to hurt me when you said sometimes love's a game we play in many different ways. I believe I tried to understand you this time again. Anyway, is it gone, is it gone, is it gone, is it gone? I said about love, love. Is it gone? Is it gone? Is it gone? I said.
love's a game we play in many different ways. I believe I try to understand you this time again. Anyway.
Always on Accent On, we have a great music break, and this time I think we should talk a little bit about music hobby that probably turned into your hands, Ralph, to the DJing business.
Yeah.
Let's come back. Okay, we were starting about you were playing bass, then you were really studying classical music.
No. Let me just sum it up really fast because I'm pretty good at this usually. First, I studied with eight when I started music. Then I studied classical music when I was about 18 for 4.5 years. Then okay. I played in like top 40 bands for about 5-6 years in Germany.
Like always we do.
Moved to Los Angeles.
Like we always do.
Did my own band. Woo-hoo. Then I joined the band Scorpions in 91.
And then when our life really turns differently, because you were very successful and I was not so.
Then I did film music for about, I don't know how many years. My first movie I did about 96, Lancelot Guardian of Time. My last movie I just finished, whatever, a few months ago. Then I started painting, which is now my most important passion. And let me tell you, that was quite a bit of a ride, because I found out painting to me is one of the few art forms where you don't need anything but you, canvas, and access to the universe. Yeah. And you know, I literally feel like when I paint, I feel so much freedom, because I feel like I'm literally tuned into the universe, and I'm channeling something that I don't know where it's coming from. Some people call it God or whatever. They have like explanations, religious explanations for it. I choose not to name it, but I believe in, you know, everything and nothing. I mean, I think everything, anything is possible. But there's definitely something there that wants to like break through and talk through me, and that gets projected onto the canvas.
Everybody
somehow
needs to go to your website again. Your website?
Ralphsart.com.
And yeah, I know he's fast forwarding his life, but I'm telling you people, his paintings are amazing. And we need to again go back to Christophe, because you need to give the best pitch about Sofitel Hotel exhibition one more time before we'll finish the show in 1 minute.
Yes,
where?
It's going to be at the Sofitel Hotel in Beverly Hills, right across from the Beverly Center, on July 21st from 7 in the evening until 2 o'clock in the morning.
And again,
Eight, from eight to two.
And everybody who...
And I will be DJing, because that's my newest hobby, you know, because I rock.
And please, everybody, go to Accent On and check the post that I post, of course, for the our guest today. We have all information about exhibition. Then if people want to RSVP, then please do it.
Anyone is open to the public. Anyone can check out.
Yes. Then please, again, we have how much? 1 more minute. Okay, then what next after DJing? What will be the next? Do you have a puppy dogs?
No, I have koi fish, but I just found out the extension band is only 6 minutes. So once they swim around, everything is new to them again.
Yeah, so you always I think
seriously, without joking right now, my next adventure will be seriously DJing. So if there's anybody out there, you know, that is doing an event, and once I just DJed my second event last Saturday, 4th of July, at the big mansion party in Beverly Hills, which was very, very well taken. I have so many responses from people. people saying that they literally said it was the best music experience they had in a very, very long time, because I mix everything. I don't just, and I also change the volumes, which is very important.
Absolutely. Not the one loud scream. And I hope you are playing a lot of styles of
so
music.
So if anybody's out there, you can also go to my website, ralphsart.com, and there's an email address on there. You can contact me through there, and you know, and then you know, you can book me for any kind of events all over the world, because my next venture is going to be touring the world again, but this time as a DJ. And I will also be performing live, and I also have live guests, maybe her, you know, appear with me together, which I did with my sister, because she just had a new record out. I played her playbacks, and she played live saxophone.
Of course. And of course, please include in your DJing live, you playing live upright bass.
Oh, I will.
Bass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because 100%. I think you need to be different from lots of DJs.
No, I will be playing live guitar. I'm playing live drums. I'll be playing live congas. I'll be playing live bass. I'll be playing live keyboards, because I play all these instruments.
And time to remix some of your hits.
Yeah, I already did. I mean, you could have
you
played some.
Already?
Yeah, I have two.
You'll be back. If you would if you would like to come back, I would love to do that.
Sure.
And obviously, I have a lot of great DJs that I know that are pretty known in America, and could be that you will just talk to them and something good can happen, you know, in many different ways. And some, if you are writing and really writing EDM music or an electronica, then it's few good promoters that would probably love to hear from you, because with your name and with your history, it's just very fascinating to create dance music, which is a little different and has throwback to rock. We'll be having throwback to classical, probably. I see where you are.
What
going.
I do, I call it more tropical house, which is a new hot thing, because what it does is it combines the energy with house music, which everybody always can relate to right now. But it has like an old school, like an 80s, 90s hit very song, like Beat It or something like that from Michael Jackson, that's very famous and well known. Like almost the entire song in it, or at least like the whole chorus and parts of the verse, rather than like little tiny little snippets as samples. And you create your own melodies on top of it, and then like cut it in a weird way, so it's like you recognize a song, but it's updated. It has like a summery
tropical
feel. We
need to have you
yeah.
back, and you will be playing your music, playing your remix, playing your taste.
Sure.
Or, you know, that will be very, very unusual.
I'll hard. Be back.
You will be back. Thank you so much again. And again, in 5 minutes, 8 minutes, we have another show, live show on camera. Everybody, please switch to video channel. You can see our beautiful singer and. Raz will be playing guitar, Ilona will be talking, and we'll have co-host Marek who will be joining us in a moment. Thank you so much again, and we'll see you 21st July, Sofitel Hotel,
from 8 until 2,
and you'll be DJing, which cannot wait, and we'll see around 30 of your paintings. Again, everybody goes to website, which is
ralphsart.com. That's ralphsart.com.
Thank you so much for today. Come. Bye bye.
Oh,
now
come,
I need to push.
Come.
Okay.
Saying come. Come to my.
Hey, what the hell?
Saying come. Trying to help me. Come to
irreverent.
My.
Irreverent. Entertaining.
Cool. The story of mine.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
That is awesome.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa. Right here on LA Talk Radio.